looking out the window. So high, puffs of the endo. Locked up, ask what you info. My bad, too much info.
Top of the top. Levels. Top of the top, y'all. It's your boy Marshall, second episode of Plans to Be Great episode. Got the honor and privilege of interviewing a longtime childhood friend, a bro, Lonnie Jones. Welcome up, y'all.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Right on. Lonnie is a 2 or 3-time championship head coach.
Four.
I stand correct. Let me introduce y'all to Southeast own Lonnie Jones, 4-time high school girls basketball championship coach.
Appreciate that. Again, thank you for having me, man. It's an honor to be part of this, especially with alumni from Lincoln.
Yeah, that.
I mean, amazing things come out of the Hive.
That's right, class of 94. The Hive, we here. So, pretty much what the Plans to Be Great episode entails is just people coming and sharing their journey, because you got to a point in your life where you knew this wasn't it, and you knew you wanted more. So inside your mind, you had plans to be great, and at some point, you went to the fork in the road where you said, I can execute my plans to be great because I want something else, or I can stay status quo and go one way or the other. And apparently, and obviously, you executed your plans to be great, to become a high school championship winning basketball coach.
Well, you know, the funny part is, growing up, I didn't want to be a coach. You know, my mom and dad, when my dad lost his job my junior year in high school, mom lost hers freshman year going into college. So I actually came back from school from Langston, and the coaching thing strictly happened because all the homies were talking about, oh man, you need a good job. I said, all right, well, what's a good job? You know, outside of slinging dope. And everybody talked about the city. Man, you got to work for the water department. You got to get in with the water department. So I said, all right, cool. So I tried, and they're like, oh, you have no experience, but we're going to give you a hookup. Go to Park and Rec. Okay. Get in. If you get in with Park and Rec, after a year, you can transfer to any department you want to.
Right.
So I was like, all right, cool. So I go to the park. I applied. They're like, you have no experience. You can't apply.
Okay.
I said, damn, man, this ain't meant to be. And they were like, basically, they said, David Monroe, in fact. David Monroe, who's the head girls coach over at Modern Day Catholic. And he's also the... now he's the number one over Park and Rec in San Diego City.
Okay.
So he's the highest of the high.
Okay.
He was actually my coach and mentor when I was a kid. He actually told me, he said, hey man, volunteer in the kennel up here where you live, volunteer, get these hours in.
Shout out to the Kennel Bulls.
No doubt. All day, every day. Coach Reggie, Coach Gwen, Ms. Right. Gwen Martin, all them. And I said, all right. So I was actually doing this little job over at Factory to You. Back then it was called Family Bargain Center. I was working there just trying to make some coin and playing college football at Grossmont and volunteering. And basically, long story short, bro, I had to coach.
Right.
And they gave me a team. And, man, it was weird because that first year with that group, the only team that beat us was Marshawn's Cherry team, who coaches head coach at Mission Bay, childhood friend. His team at MLK was the only team that beat us in the finals.
Wow.
So it was weird, man. It's just, wow. I don't know. It's just, I guess, a calling from there.
Right. So we're definitely going to get into that track with the coaching. Mm-hmm. But what I want to know is, like, you know, tell us about, you know, growing up, you know, where you from, you know, and some of the, you know, the trials and tribulations of growing up, where you came from.
Well, first thing, I'm from the best, you know, city in San Diego, Southeast. Southeast is his own city. That's the reality of it.
Whoa.
Yeah, born and raised. I was supposed to go to Morris High School. Mom's had the house on 69th in Imperial, right by the Barrel. So all y'all hearing this and know about the Barrel, you know what's happening.
Legendary taco shop in Dago, Southeast.
Yeah, $2.10 for a carne asada burrito back in the 90s.
Right.
We ain't gonna talk about the prices now.
What about before high school? Where'd you go to middle school at?
Oh man, mom shipped me out. She said, you can't go to Keeler. Mm-hmm. She's like, your relative's over there. We sending you to Pershing.
Right, that's where I went, Keeler Cougar. Shout out to all the Keeler Cougar alumni.
Yeah, so I went to Kennel Elementary. And then moms are like, nah, your cousin back. Him and your cousin, they both just moved back from North Carolina. Nah, you're not going to Keeler with them. You're going to Pershing.
Right.
So mom sent me out there with them, with those folks for a couple years. And back then, Patrick Henry was as a 9th grader at Pershing, you go play football at over there at Henry.
The feeder school.
Feeder school.
Right.
I was going to go, and I told my mom, like, hey, mom, it's cool people here, but this ain't right. I said, you went to Lincoln. All my family went to Lincoln. All my cousins are there now.
Right.
I said, man, I want to go to the Hive, Mom. I need to be there. And I convinced her. First day of school, checked me into the Hive.
That's what's up.
And life's been great ever since.
Okay, so what is your first memory of where you and I met? Because I believe I first met you at Encano Rec Center.
Yeah,
playing for the Encano Bulls.
Yep, back
that's
when
how
I was.
Long I've been knowing you.
That little chubby fat kid always had something to say. Always had an attitude. Yeah. Surprised we didn't get in no fight with the attitude that I had,
hey,
man.
I always kept a G and I was always solid from way back then.
Man. And then you welcomed me with open arms your junior year when I walked into the Hive. So that was love.
Yeah, definitely, love. Definitely. So you first got to the Hive what year? I think I'm class of 94. What year?
Yeah, I'm 96. Okay. But all y'all thought I was older because I hung out with everybody
that's
older.
That's right. So two years behind. So So I think we played football together that first year. That's right. And then tell us some of your experiences on the Hive, man. Like you said, you came from Pershing to Patrick Henry Feeder School, but then you have a family that were Lincoln alumni.
Mm-hmm.
What was your experiences, you know, the first part of coming to the Hive?
Honestly, I was overwhelmed a little bit.
What made you overwhelmed?
Man, the size of everybody. I mean, I can remember, I know Keeley Smith was there. You had Big Clint Hunt.
Right.
Chester Magnum.
I remember Chester.
Right. So, you know, you hop on campus and, you know, in middle school, I was a pretty big kid.
Mm-hmm.
Man, when I walked up into Lincoln, I'm like, man, I'm looking to the sky like, golly, you know. I mean, even some of the young ladies that were there, you know, Misher. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I thought she was a teacher.
Oh, Felicia.
Felicia, yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, Valerie's sister. Yeah.
Valerie.
Shout out to her, too.
Yeah, shout out to both of them.
Saw them during homecoming.
Right.
Even her, I ain't going to lie. I looked, I said, man, that's a teacher? They're like, nah, bro, she's a senior. I'm like, my God, like. It was just, again, just the size difference, looking at everybody, all the facial hair, maturity. I mean, you had dudes that legit lifting weights every day.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? For different reasons.
Yeah.
Some of them were on vacation, if you know what I'm saying.
The Hive was legendary like that.
And then some of them, you know, were just in that weight room faithfully. But, I mean, you look at a guy, like I said, Clint Hunt. I mean, he was a big physical specimen, man. Terrell Cade. You know what I'm saying? Them were some big dudes. And I think that was the most overwhelming thing is just,
right.
I felt like it was college, man. I was like, this is different.
Wow, that's an interesting perspective. Coming on your first year at the Hive and then, you know, feeling that way, even though, like, you were not a little guy, but you were felt little because you were so kind of like, oh, man, look at all these people. They look grown.
Yeah.
You know, and you came in as a ninth grader.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the beautiful thing about that was, though, nobody was, you know, it was open arms.
Right.
It was like they treated me for me, and then they found out Sianyu Tates was my big relative.
Right. Yeah.
So then they were like, "Oh, that's
too,
yeah."
Right.
They're like,
class
"That's little
93, I believe.
Yeah, 93. They're like, "That's little Bianyu's," what they used to say back in the day. And I'm like, "Nah, that's her brother. I'm just the cousin."
Right.
But again, it was just the open arms, the family atmosphere.
Right. The Hive family's not like none other. If you didn't go there, you wouldn't understand.
So yeah, I give them that. Like my first few days of school, they're like, "Nah, come over here, little homie."
Right.
I'm like, "Man, okay, I'm your homie." Like, "All right, cool." And, and you know, and it was nothing but love. They weren't trying to be funny, prank games.
Nah.
They're trying to put you on.
Right.
You know, and that's what, man, that's special about the Hive.
That's why the Hive, once you're in, you're in.
Yep, 100%.
If you're out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you violate certain unwritten rules and codes, you don't get to come back and hang out.
No doubt.
Or
no
get talked to in a special light. So what sports did you play in high school other than football, as we mentioned?
Man, I tried a little bit of everything, honestly. I did baseball for a year. Okay. I did.
With Nula, rest in peace, Coach Nula.
So he did pass away.
Yeah, he did pass away. Years ago, I don't know the exact reason, but, you know, rest in peace, Coach Nula.
Yeah, great
legendary
man.
Lincoln baseball coach.
Math teacher. Outstanding.
And math
man.
Teacher, yes.
So, yeah, I did baseball. Mm-hmm. I experimented with wrestling.
Okay.
First
Coach
year,
Jones.
That's how I met Coach Jones. Mr. Willie Jones,
that's
our guy.
Yeah, right. Rest in peace, Willie Jones. Lincoln legend as well.
Man, legend, man.
Right.
I messed around a little bit with, by the time I graduated, man, I actually did volleyball for Miss Robinson.
Is that right?
She brought volleyball back to Lincoln for boys in my senior year. I played.
Nice.
And, so I did a little bit of everything, football, basketball, baseball, wrestling.
Okay.
But as I got older, you know, with my size and everything, football was my ticket.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so speaking in terms of the atmosphere at the Hive, you know, Lincoln is, right in the heart of Southeast. And a lot of different elements are in Southeast.
Yeah.
So did you have a chance where you could have said, I'm going to start gangbanging or I'm going to go... you know, just get my stuff done, just follow the athletic life, like, you know, because it's always around. And I don't really believe that there was a lot of pressure to say, hey, you got to become a gangster like us, you know, because I didn't feel that way either. When I got there in September 1990, it was just like, hey, you're not banging, but who are you, what you about? And if you're an athlete, okay, can you hold your own? Are you, you know, being respectful, learning how to keep your mouth shut about things that ain't got nothing to do with you, you know, and mind your own business. So yeah, any experiences with those?
Oh, 100%. I mean, 100%. It's what the outside world makes Lincoln to be is nowhere near accurate.
Right.
You hit the nail on the head. You know, nobody was like, oh, blood, you with us.
Right.
You banged out Lincoln, or you banged out Brims or Emerald Hills, right, whatnot, whatever. It was just more like, you a hornet. Right. What you about? Are you a solid dude?
Right.
And once you prove that you're solid, you know what I'm saying? It was no, I didn't have a choice to go right or left. It was always a straight path. I mean, we had gang members we went to school with that made America's Most Wanted that had 3.5 GPAs.
Hey, real
you know
talk.
What I'm saying?
It's real in the field at the highs, man. Especially back in the 90s.
Yeah, no doubt. And them same cats, you know, because they lived in, you know, in deeper the heart of Southeast, on Salola Block or in the basement or whatnot, whatever, you know, them cats had to do certain things to survive.
Right.
And what they did was they used school as their getaway.
Yeah.
You know, so with us, it was like, you know, there was times we went to functions and our homies that really were banging, they were like, you know, blood, this is what I'm about, homie.
Right.
Y'all need to cut right now because it's about to go down. You know, that's the love we had.
I had the same experience where I was, I don't want to say given a pass, but I think that is the right word, given a pass to go to these house parties that were in gang areas and thrown by gangsters. But then you come in, oh, that's the homie, go to Lincoln with me. He played sports. He played football. That gave you a pass to kind of be cool. But like you said, if you weren't solid, homie, who is this dude, man? You can't be up in here like this, homie. Yeah, you would have got flashed on immediately.
It's almost like you're honorary.
Exactly, you're honorary. But I had an experience similar in my senior year. I was in Bay Vista with, I'm not going to mention any names, but somebody said, hey, what you about to do? You about to leave?
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that was my sign to say, hey, it's time for you to go because shit's about to go down.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw like about 30 or 40 Lincoln Parksters coming, like not towards me, but they were getting ready to congregate to go wherever they, or do whatever they needed to do. And the homies that I was with knew that wasn't me, even though I was all good, played sports, you know, had a solid rep and, you know, respectable and all that good stuff, but they knew that that wasn't for me.
Yeah.
So that's very ironic that you had something similar as well.
Yeah. It's just, again, that's just the love of it, man. I mean,
right.
You know, again, we went to school with some real, real dudes.
Right.
And
that have legendary names to this day,
man,
2020.
Man.
Right.
Man.
Some of them aren't here, you know, God rest their soul.
Some of them
aren't
here. Some of them are here. Some of them might still be on vacation.
Right.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, they understood. They might have been on the football team with us for maybe 3 or 4 games.
Right.
And then they had that.
That grades come out.
Grades come out for them, or that lifestyle come out, or the coach had to give them a life experience. Like, look, we're not closing the door on you, but you got to go. And when you're ready, this door is wide open to come back.
Right.
And that's another great thing about the Hive is that, you know, the adults we had there, they didn't, there's only one person I had a bad experience at the Hive with, one adult. And I ain't going to say the person's name. I'm going to say they did security.
Okay.
And they coached football, and I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay.
I had a bad experience with that person because it just, the way they talked to me and what they said, it was demoralizing.
Right.
And
instead of uplifting, you're a child still and they're an adult.
Yeah, and it wasn't just with me. I mean, they were like that with other people. Then when I got older, I realized, you know what? That was just that person, unfortunately, who they were.
Because they had to have that, what is that word I'm looking at? That demeanor,
man,
across for everybody.
Man.
Unfortunately.
But
all
the other adults that were at the Hive, I mean, every staff member did something in a positive way to help you. It was a small family, you know what I'm saying? And I think that atmosphere is what also went to our young brothers that, you know, had to go that different path.
Right.
When they told us, hey, man, about time to go, right? You know what I'm saying?
Like you said. Hey, what you about to do? You about to leave?
Yeah, you about to leave?
Yeah, you know what? I am about to leave.
I think you're right. Yeah, let me get up out of here.
Yeah,
I
mean, because it was hard because, like, knowing everyone from every faction that makes Southeast what Southeast is, I want to pick a side. And if my friends from Lincoln against my friends from Skyline or friends from Emerald, like whoever, like if they were beefing, it had nothing to do with me. I'm still friends with everybody, but I knew that I couldn't interject myself or hang when I knew something was gonna happen because I'm like, man, I can't pick a side. I'm cool with everybody. So that's why I think that they chose us in a sense to use us as an example. Like, hey, y'all gotta go because stuff that we signed up for is getting ready to go down.
Yeah, I mean, we were still, you know, close to their walk of life, but you know, they understood that we might have had a better support system at home.
Right. They knew that wasn't for us. We weren't
about
that.
Kind of
right.
deal. Exactly. And, you know, and you know, some of our young kings, I'm going to say kings because we all kings.
Exact. Kings
some,
and queens.
Some
right.
of our young kings we grew up with, you know, unfortunately, some of their family members forced them.
Absolutely.
That path.
Yeah. The upbringing you know, is, you know, yeah. it is unfortunate.
It happens.
Yeah. So so you graduate class in 96.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
I think I went to the Navy. April 96, so, you know, and there was no social media, no internet then. So when you graduated,
yeah.
what was out there for you that was in front of you for you to select from?
Oh, as far as like a platform?
No, just like
or
what
life.
Was the next step? Life. Like, okay, I'm getting ready to graduate. What's
Bro,
next? What was your plans? You
all
mentioned
honest,
something about college.
In all honesty, man, you know, we had a coaching change in football. So, you know,
that's right. You were a part of that last one. Coach
right.
Pease, rest in peace, Coach Vic player, legendary Lincoln Hornet coach,
yeah,
football
we,
coach, and we, Coach Reed, too.
Ed Reed, yeah, Mr. Reed, not Ed Reed, I'm sorry, Mr. Reed,
Roy Reed.
Yeah. I'm over here yeah. talking about Ed, the safety, you know, Roy Reed.
Right. They left. Legendary program.
Yeah. So I kind of lost the love for playing the game a little bit.
Right.
Because my junior year, we won the league.
Right.
We had the number one defense in the county for most of the year, and then we got upset in the first round of playoffs by Saints.
Okay.
So senior year, man, we went 0-10.
Yeah, I remember that year. I remember being in the Navy. My mom sent me the sports page. She was like, what happened to Lincoln? I'm like, oh, who's over there?
Yeah, I had to live that.
And, right. Yeah, to this day, y'all still get messed with.
Yeah.
Y'all let the hype go 0-10. Right.
It happens. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Only the second time in school history.
Right.
But for me, and later in this conversation, you'll understand my passion for coaching. And
oh, yeah. We definitely going to touch on that. Yeah.
But I didn't realize because, you know, now with social media, with emails, Twitter, college coaches can get you in a heartbeat. Back then, you know, we had to send out VHS tapes.
Right.
You know, took forever to do that with Mr. Mayor.
Yeah. Selectively wanted to help certain people and not and procrastinate with others. I know. I heard all the stories.
Right. And then talking with college coaches back then, it was literally via letter.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, 9 out of 10 times you're writing letters. They're hitting you back. You might get a phone call depending on where you living at, your phone might not be working.
Right.
So I kind of lost the love for playing because I didn't find out until after the season. I actually had some colleges that had interest in me.
Right.
And basically the mail was held type deal.
Wow. Held at the Hive?
At the school.
Wow.
It was basically not by people at the school, but to my understanding, coaching staff. I ended up finding out that right before the season ended, that the DC was actually my uncle. And I had no clue that Washington was my uncle.
Right.
He took me home one day, and we're pulling up the street, and he sees this guy. He's like, I said, oh, that's my uncle. And he was like, your uncle? He said, his name is Laren. I'm like, yeah, how you know him? He's like, wait a minute, who's your daddy? And I told him, my dad's Ed. He goes, Edgar, go get your daddy. And I go in the house. My dad come out. My dad was like, Uncle Wash. I'm like, whoa.
What a small world.
Man, so then like the next week, comes to me out of nowhere, and you know, it's male.
Right.
I'm like, whoa. You know, I'm not saying it was Alabama's or nothing like that, but it was still colleges.
But all of a sudden, now that your family, man, the coach is like, hey, let's go hook him up.
Man, that's like, you know, again, he.
That's a sad situation.
Yeah, he showed me some things, and
right.
and so you know, my original plan was I wanted to go to Colorado State to get out of San Diego,
right?
But to come home and play twice at SDSU,
right?
To play in front of my family right. twice in 4 years.
Why'd you want to get out of San Diego?
You know what, man? See something different. Get away a little bit. Because, again, you know, my house at the time, you know, my mom and dad taught me what love is.
Right.
But, you know, they've been through a lot and I've seen a lot.
Right.
And for me, it was just like, man, I had a lot on my plate. I was like, I just want to get away.
Right.
And basically, it was a typical, you know, African-American male growing up. You got to use sports to get out of here.
Right.
You got to be the next Marcus Allen. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, honestly, man, I made a decision. I was like, hey, I'm just going to go to Southwestern. You know, I'll play a year there and get out because my grades were cool. But that didn't happen because an unfortunate situation happened with a family member of mine.
Right.
And at the end of my senior year, to basically it forced me to leave the city.
Getting ready to graduate in 1996,
yeah.
June.
Yep, June of 96.
You had to leave. Isn't it crazy how life...
I had to leave.
Life, you know, like you have all these plans and then life says... No, you're going this way.
Yeah, so
you leave and go where?
So what happened was right before graduation, my relative Khalid Rohn left the year before in 95, and he went to Langston University for band.
And Langston University?
In Oklahoma.
In Oklahoma, okay.
Langston University in Langston, Oklahoma. It's the HBCU.
Right.
So he came back recruiting to campus. And he was like, Lonnie, just fill out the app. Just fill out the app. And I was like, nah, I'm going to Southwestern. Man, just fill out the app.
Why were you hesitant to do it?
Because I was already, mine already sent, man. I'm going to Southwestern. I'm good to go.
What made Southwestern the one you wanted to go to?
You know what? Easy to get to.
Okay.
Easy to get to, more
in terms of location.
That's it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I had a homie going there, had transportation. It was close. Right. Yeah. So I went ahead and I did the app.
Okay.
Like 2 weeks later, I get the letter of acceptance.
Wow.
You know, my mom was like, whoa.
That's big. I mean, for us in our generation, yeah. Our parents were survival. They survived. A lot of our parents didn't say, hey, what colleges are you gonna plan on, you know, signing up for? Yeah. What are you applying to? It was more, don't drop out, don't go to jail.
Man, 100.
You know, and it was survive. And then once you graduated, hey, what are you gonna do now?
Man.
Yeah. And then here you are, child of Southeast, going one of the most, you know, horribly described schools, like we're such bad people, but if you are not a part of it, you don't know what it is. And then here you are getting accepting letters from college, man. That's big.
Yeah,
that's
so
big, bro.
I end up, I got that letter. Right before graduation, there was a fortunate situation with my family member that carried over into the school.
Okay.
Graduation came.
In 96?
96.
Any, without names?
You know
him. Okay.
Yeah.
About the graduation party?
Yeah.
Okay.
So some unfortunate things happened. Graduated school. I was cool. Like, I ain't never been the one to not want to go somewhere or unable to go anywhere.
Right.
But right after graduation, went to a little get together and some cats rolled up as we were leaving.
Wow.
And basically they, you know, hey, it wasn't no talking. It was bust to turn this car around. Let's play some drums.
Wow.
You get what I'm saying?
Wow.
So that kind of happened. Went back to the house, spoke with the parents, you know, spoke with the relative. Basically, moms was like, you don't have an option. We putting you on this airplane. I was like, all right.
Because a few years earlier at my graduation party.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a shame that high school kids got to go through that.
But right, right. So basically, you know, everybody know Lonnie, big Lonnie.
Right.
So I stand out everywhere I go.
Right.
My relative can kind of hide in the cracks a little bit without hiding. Like, he mixes in the crowd.
Right.
So basically, man, I hopped on a plane, never flew in my life. Man,
when
I took him home,
getting on that plane, you're like, oh my God, I'm about to leave San Diego.
It was triv because back then, I'm sorry, that's a word we use in our community.
Right. Triv means it was complicated.
There you go.
Uncertainty.
So yeah, it was triv because back then at the airport, they have TSA and all that.
Right, it's before 9/11. Right.
Man, so moms and grandma and grandpa walked me all the way
to your seat.
Man.
Put your stuff in the bin and said, okay,
man,
love you.
I left with an army bag and a couple duffel bags. And I got off the plane in Oklahoma, like, where am I at? And got picked up, ironically, by my aunt.
Waiting for you at the airport?
Yeah, because she was
at the gate, right.
She was Navy. Her husband was Navy.
Right.
They got a little naval thing out there.
Right.
So she swooped me. Next day, he takes me to college. And I'm just looking at the roads and stuff like, bro, this ain't the 805,
I'm
homie.
Not in San Diego no more, Toto.
What? I'm like, this ain't the 94. Like,
right.
Ain't nothing here.
Right.
And out of nowhere, this college just pop up.
Wow.
And so that's even funnier when I got there.
Yeah, tell us about that.
So when I got there.
Your first, what is the word I'm looking for?
Mm-hmm.
Impression. As soon as you get there, you're coming from an urban school in Southeast San Diego, in the heart of the ghetto, you know, and then you leave such a beautiful city of San Diego, America's finest city, by the way.
Yeah, no doubt.
And then you go to Langston. Where did you fly into in Oklahoma?
Oklahoma City.
Flew in Oklahoma City, got picked up,
mm-hmm.
drove, and then you're pulling up in out of nowhere like a mirage.
So here's the funny part about the story. My auntie's black.
Right.
Her husband's white.
Okay.
So here I am getting dropped off at HBCU
by
this white cat, and everybody looking at him like, what the heck?
And this is the 90s still.
Yeah, 90s still. Yeah. So my first couple days there, it was definitely different. Slow.
Mm-hmm.
They for us, we run to the taco shop.
Right.
We run to the taco shop and get our food for there, man. They said they had a place called Taco Mayo. I got excited. I'm like, oh, I bet.
Right.
We going to the town.
So tell us about Midwest Taco Shop.
Oh, bro.
I'm
getting there, bro. So check it. We go down into a city called Guthrie, which is like about, if I remember right, it's about a 30-minute drive from Langston, give or take.
You had to drive 30 minutes to go to the taco shop?
Yeah, because Langston was literally, best way for me to describe it for San Diego people that's listening to this podcast, it's kind of like you live in El Cajon.
Right.
And then you driving way out to Golden Acorn Casino. like you go on the 8 freeway trying to go to Arizona.
Right.
And ain't nothing around you. Yeah. And then Golden Acorn pop up.
Yeah. Something like going to 15 North to Vegas. It's nothing, nothing. And all you hit that turn and boom, it's right there.
Yeah. So it's like after you leave Barstow type deal.
Right.
And you roll in. And then a couple hours later, I mean, you know, half hour later, boom, here goes
Prim.
Prim.
Yeah.
Right.
Something like that. Okay.
Yeah. That. So, bro, we walk in the taco shop. I'm hype. I'm like, oh, I'm giving me a carne asada burrito. Bro, Taco Mayo was nothing but a generic Taco Bell. And these brothers were hyped. They're like, this that bomb Mexican food. I'm like,
bro, no it ain't.
Like, bro, I'm about to walk over to the grocery store, buy me a hot plate.
Sunny Southern Cal. This ain't no taco shop. I'm like, I'm about to Taco Bell.
I literally went over to the store, bought me a hot plate, bought me some meat and stuff, went back to the crib, to the dorm, and showed them how to make tacos.
Right.
You know?
Wow.
But no, so Oklahoma, man, it was funny because when I get there, I was hooping. I loved to hoop. Hoop always kept me in shape. It was a fun thing to do, and I used to like how people would react to how I played.
Right.
They'd be like, man, that big dude can go.
Right. He got moves, right? Yeah. He got game. Nice.
Yeah. So I actually went to go hoop in kind of like San Diego State. It's like the ARC out there. It's like their student union center.
Okay.
So I'm in there hooping, and I didn't realize I was playing with their men's basketball team. And this one little cat was out there, man. Man, jump out the gym. So we out there just acting up. So as I'm walking back to the dorm after we play like 6-7 games, and some of these dudes following behind me. So at the time we're on campus, it's only athletes and seniors.
Okay.
Right? I mean, sorry, no, athletes and freshmen.
This is before school's getting ready.
It was right before official first day. Okay. So it was all the athletes and freshmen.
Right.
So I'm walking back to the dorm. You know, I got that Southeast Spider-Man
like,
sense.
Man, right, man. That's the street smarts. Like,
before I even left the gym, I was like, man, something don't feel right.
Right.
So I'm mobbing back to the dorm.
Street smarts kick in.
Man, 100%. You know what I mean? So I'm mobbing to the dorm and, finally, I look back and this dude's there. I was like, okay, well, all right. I'm sizing him up.
Right.
Because, you know,
back against the wall.
You know how we do. Right. So,
what's
as I get into the dorm, the brother jogs in behind me and he was older, a little bit older. And I turn around, like, hey, man, what's happening?
Right.
Like, whoa. I said, nah, partner.
I'm from Cali, homie.
Yeah, like, you can't be
walking
doing
up on me like that, homie.
And he was like, nah, man, hold on, man. You know, I forget his name, but he was like, I'm Coach such and such on the football team. Man, I need to talk to you. Okay. And I was like, about what? And I went to Langston as a student. Right. I didn't go to play football.
You had no intention of playing no sports.
I was cool, man.
Like, I'm getting out of Dago.
Yeah, I was cool. I had too much on my plate, the whole nine.
And whole he was city, like, the whole environment, and went to college.
Everything, bro. Right. So he basically was like, hey, man, you ever play football? I was like, never. He was like, what? I said, nah, man. I said, honestly, I'm just a nerd. I'm just here to go to school. Well, man, I seen you play basketball, so you must have played some sport.
Right.
I was like, yeah, I hoop back home.
Right.
Play a little bit of baseball, but nah, football ain't my thing.
Right. Why you telling
him that? Honestly, man, I just didn't want to be bothered with it. I was turned off
already.
The fact that
right.
I didn't get letters.
Right.
I didn't get them in time.
So your heart, you had no passion for
man,
it.
Man, I missed the stuff. I was already content on going to a junior college.
Right.
You know, so now I don't want no more letdowns.
Crazy
I don't want
to hear the hype through these opportunities to you. It's like, you're like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, I didn't want to hear the hype off this guy telling me what I could do like these other coaches were.
Only to be disappointed.
And then get done dirty.
Right.
Well, not dirty, but just,
right.
You know, again, there were new coaches made
down.
A mistake.
Right.
Yeah, so. Right. He asked me my name, told him my name. Next day, I come back to the dorm. He's sitting in there in the lobby with another coach. And he was like, so you never played football? I was like, nah.
they didn't believe you.
Nah, they didn't. And they were like, well, you know, your last name is Jones. I'm like, yeah. He said, okay, well, we went to records. You went to Lincoln High School in San Diego, correct? I was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, why? He's like, that's funny, because there's another Lonnie Jones that went there that was senior year, made all league. And I was like, nah, I just made all Union Tribune academic team.
And
they're
playing?
Like, yeah, and then they're like, nah, that ain't the call we got from the coaches down there.
Oh.
We called. And I was like,
Lincoln gave you some love out there.
A whole lot of.
Nice.
And that made my heart feel better.
Wow.
And basically they were like, you know, come on, man, come play.
Right.
I was like, man, all right. So I go out there. They suit me up. Man, they had this center. I was just messing around. They had this center that was like, I think it was 22, 23.
Where they have you at? What D-line, O-line?
No, I went O-line.
O-line, okay.
Because, you know, man, I was cocky. Man, that's one of my biggest things when I was younger. I was a big-time know-it-all.
Right.
And I'm watching their center, and I'm watching their lineman. I'm like, bro, these dudes are slow. Like, good-sized dudes. I'm like, they're slow.
Right.
Man, the way he's snapping is messed up. So coach was like, he heard me. He's like, well, let's see you do it.
Right.
What would you do on this play?
Bad.
I was like, cool. So I hop in. And basically, I told my guard, I said, look, I'm snapping and I'm pulling. We ran like a toss play. I said, I'm pulling, so I need you to block down.
Right.
I'm coming right off you. Tackle, just blow straight up. Don't worry about nothing.
Right.
So they're like, our center don't pull. I'm like, trust me, I got this.
Right.
Bro, snap the ball. Ha, come off the edge. Backer come up, Yahtzee.
Pancake.
He's out. He's out the picture. I'm next level. Going right. to the safety, man. The coaches lose their mind. Running back come up. He's smacking me. Boom, boom, boom. And so basically, this dude been starting for 3 years. And one day, they're like, yeah, we're going to move you to guard.
Wow. Right just off the top.
Yeah, they're going to move him to guard.
And you're the starting center.
Basically.
At Lacey University.
Basically.
Out of nowhere.
As a 17-year-old.
As a 17-year-old.
I was still 17.
Wow.
So basically, I was, you know, I chopped it up with him. And now this is where more of the love for Lincoln came into play and some of the frustration with my coaches came into play.
That pride for
Hive, right? I felt Lincoln prepared me for anything, anyone.
Only then, to realize.
Yeah, but then I had to go sit down. 3-4 days later, they sat me down with compliance. And I only took one SAT, the last one of the year. And I left early. I left SAT early because I needed to go to work.
Right.
So my score wasn't high enough.
So they say you can't play.
So it's like a gray shirt type deal. They were like, hey, the coach was disappointed. Hey, can we have him take an emergency one? I'm like, I don't even know how that stuff works. I'm like, coach, I'm not dumb. I left the SAT early because I really didn't care. I was locked in going to Southwestern.
Right.
So basically that came into play.
This opportunity comes, you didn't even think about that in the back of your mind.
Nah, not at all, bro. So again, so for me, I was like, So then a couple weeks later, I get the phone call that my mom's lost her job. And basically, I looked at Langston University and I tossed up the deuces. I was like, I gotta go home, help the family. So, you know, hopped on the Greyhound, flew out there, took the Greyhound back.
And that Greyhound back on that meat wagon, what was that experience like?
Horrendous.
Feeling like, oh my God.
You gotta put your money in your sock, not in your shoe. You gotta put it on the bottom of your sock because people be on there trying to rob you. October-ish. Like midseason?
October 96?
Yeah, like midseason, I was out.
Wow, I was getting ready to go out to my first deployment.
Yeah, man. Coaches were mad, bro. They were on me. They're like, Jones, you ain't going nowhere. And I'm like, nah, homie. I love y'all, appreciate y'all, you know, but moms and dad and my little brothers is calling back home. And my mom was a little disappointed that I chose to come back, but I felt I needed to go.
Well, so she's saying you should have stayed and still went to school even though you didn't get to play football.
You know, my mom, you know, with us, it wasn't about playing football. For me, okay, let's say I was playing on the active roster.
Right.
I wouldn't have came home.
But you still could have stayed in college, though, right?
100%.
But so why leave? Why get there and say, I want to get out of the Dago? You know, all this stuff is happening back home. Yeah. A lot of crazy stuff was happening in the 90s in San Diego, especially around Southeast.
Yeah.
And you're gone. You're already enrolled, accepted. Financial aid, everything's paid for, right?
Yeah. Well, my baby brother, the littlest one, was he just turned two, one or two, and he was more like my son. Okay. Like I would take him to
you
rec centers to hoop
him.
With me.
Right.
So again, you know, I knew the struggle when I left of watching my mom work. She worked a part-time job at Cox Cable, but brought in full-time money.
Right.
My mom used to be the lady that would call your house and be like, hey. You have Cox Cable. Right. Look, I'm going to give you a special. I'm going to add HBO on this.
Upsell and all that.
The whole nine. So, you know, we were living decent.
Right.
Dad worked at the shipyard.
That's a blessing, man.
It was.
Two-parent home especially.
It was.
Working parents.
It was. But then again.
Coming from where we came from.
Yeah. But again, then my junior year hit. Through my junior year, my dad lost his job. And he kind of lost the will to work. He's been working ever since he was 17. Never went to college. Didn't graduate high school because my mom was pregnant with me. So it took me some years to understand why he was burnt out. Because for a while, I didn't talk to him. My whole senior year, I really didn't talk to my dad at all.
Because he wasn't working?
I felt he wasn't a man at the time.
And then now, as a man, you see that it wasn't his fault, in a sense.
You know what? Yes and no. It's a give take.
Right.
It's
but being older, you kind of put yourself in his shoes as an adult, like, okay.
I gave him a slight pass, if that makes sense.
For whatever reason.
And then what took over, what gave him the all the way pass was he didn't leave my mom. And my mom didn't leave him. My mom believed in him.
Hey, through for better, for worse.
For me, I was just like, yo, I'm leaving. You got two little sons. My guy, my mom is struggling.
Right.
And, you know, I saw some other things going on with him.
Right.
And it's funny that I'm saying this about my dad because he's honestly like my biggest supporter now.
Wow.
And when I left.
How that dynamic goes, right.
And when I went to Langston, he was actually the one I missed the most.
Wow.
It was
and
a trip.
You didn't even think about like, why am I missing my dad? So
I really, I actually cried, homie, after I got the phone with him. I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
And,
When you're out there, you talk to him and like, man, it's tugging at your heart. Like,
yeah, it really hit.
Dad. My dad, right.
So, yeah, so me not playing football and just being a practice guy on the sideline. For me, it was like, okay, my mom lost her job.
It was bigger than just, hey, I'm one of the going to college and being, you know, a representative of my family. It's like, I need to go back home to help my mom.
Yeah.
And help my my little brothers.
Help the family. You
help
know
the
what I'm
family
saying?
Overall. Right.
So, you know, I could say that I could be honest as a grown man, 41 now, I could say that, you know, I was immature and I kind of ran from the lifestyle out there when I should have just battled through it.
You have some kind of regret. You wish you could have stayed.
I do.
Right.
I do. I mean, that's all of us. I mean, we all wish we could go back.
If
I go back to high school, let me do my senior year over.
Yeah,
Everything,
all the bad and good decision makers who we are now.
So. Right. But my decision to leave and where I'm at now in my life, you know, I'm very happy, bro.
That's
I'm very
right.
happy. You know, so again, you know, I left.
You came back
home
today.
To help moms.
Right.
I was folding T-shirts at Family Bargain Center.
Right.
Which is factory to you now.
Right.
I was folding T-shirts.
So you get back, you transition to helping the family out.
Yeah.
But then coaching girls basketball, youth girls basketball first.
No, I was coaching boys first.
Boys, okay, we'll just say coaching basketball in general.
Yeah.
You're folding shirts.
Folding
you left
shirt.
Langston, you come back home, you're working, helping out with your little brothers, moms, pumps, the family dynamic. Yeah. And then one day you wake up and how did this opportunity come to you to coach?
Man, I mean, honestly, again, what happened was I'm folding shirts and the old head coach at Mesa College,
I believe
it was Moss back in the day.
Dave Moss.
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 So he saw me and he was like, hey, man, you play the same little thing all over again.
All over again, right.
And I was like, I'm cool.
Yeah,
I don't want to play ball. So he respected it. He let it go. And then Coach Jordan from Grossmont saw me. Mm-hmm. And basically I told him, look, man, I'm working.
Right. Helping my family out.
He said, look, you know, JUCO back then is... It's kind of like that movie, The Program. If you never saw The Program, you need to go check that out.
Right, and this is 97 now, football
season.
This is 97
football year.
Right.
So after Keeley and all them won state and all that. So he hit me, was it 98? They went in 96, 97 season,
He got drafted 98,
right?
98, so it must have been.
No, he got drafted 99. Because 98 he was with Oregon.
Oregon, so it had to be 96.
Yeah, so it was a 97 season.
And then he went to Oregon 1 year and then went to,
So it was a 97 season.
Football season.
Coach Jordan basically said, hey, man, here's the deal. I'm going to give you the money you're making here. And, you know, technically I shouldn't say that.
Right.
But, and I'm also going to make sure you get to school. Come play.
Right.
So I was like, talk to mom. She was like, hey, son, I've always told you, live your life.
Right.
So I went to Grossmont. And basically his plan, which he didn't tell me, was to keep me for 2 years.
Okay.
And I didn't want to stay 2 years. It was impossible. Like, I was like, bro, I got the academics.
Right.
I'm eligible next year already.
I want to go to 4 years.
Yeah, college, I'm going to leave, probably go to Clark Atlanta or something like that, get up out of here again.
But going back to Langston was never an option for you.
It wasn't.
Okay.
Because
so once you left,
the lifestyle,
like, I'm done.
Yeah,
because
the lifestyle was really slow.
Right.
And I actually had, the way it worked for me at Clark Atlanta was my homegirl Danielle Bird, who went to Gompers and Lincoln. Was out there playing tennis.
Yeah, and it was a lot of San Diego cats.
A lot of Dago
cats starting to migrate.
Yeah, a lot. That was the beginning of migration.
Right.
From Dago to there.
So it was more familiarity. Right.
Yeah. So what happened was they had no scholarships left in the spring.
Okay.
Coach said, "Look, I want you so bad. You're gonna live with me.
Wow.
I'm gonna make sure you know to know about the dorms
on and all that. Right.
Yeah. We're gonna use your financial aid money to cover the spring tuition.
Right.
And once spring is done, we're gonna sign you on a full scholarship.
So there was a plan of action.
100%. So I was about to dip. Mom's like, nah.
Oof.
So I said, why, mom? And she was like, nah. Unless we got paperwork saying your education paid for, we can't. How can we trust that?
I respect that.
And I had to think, so I didn't. So then I was like, okay, all right, let me get this job. Let me go work for the water department.
Okay, right.
So then you told us
about that quick story. Yep. But like, you meet with someone. Okay, so then they say, hey, I want you to coach what?
Yeah, they were like, well, what are you comfortable with? At the time, it was basketball season.
Right.
I was like, I can coach hoops. I'll do it.
Right.
And,
I got a love of the game. I play.
I mean, I was at this park every day, running around.
And
I had good coaches.
Which park is this again?
In Canto. You
in
know
Canto,
that?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. In Canto Bulls, right.
Yeah, so I had great people.
Was Mike Skibby still around there?
Come on, man.
Was he still around there?
Yeah. Now, at that time, Skibby, around that time, I want to say Skibby was, they were like, yeah, we cool.
Okay, right.
I love Skibby, though, man.
Shout out to Mike Skibby.
Hey, he's
Canto Bulls.
He used to rub all the adults the wrong way, but he loved the kids.
Hey, he really did.
Yeah.
He didn't have to be there and do everything he did, but he did.
He
even
did.
When the Powell League started, that's why. Yeah, so
he did. Yeah.
So you're in Canto Bull, you're Canto Rec.
Yeah, coaching.
Coaching. Okay, so you coach what age group, first one?
Oh, man, I had, it was 13 to 15s.
Okay.
13 to 15s.
All right. So what was the first good and bad experience of your when you started coaching?
You know, I'll go with the negative first.
Right.
Being that close today, you know, 19 years old.
Yeah.
These little young dudes, like, you know.
Didn't respect your authority?
it wasn't a respect thing. It was more like, I was like, damn, I can either, at times I caught myself being like a big brother and like ready to check somebody. Cause some of them, you know, were banged out.
Right.
We had a little, you know, one little homie, he, you know, he was banged out, family OG, all OGs right. from Skyline.
Right.
And I had to remember like, yo, I'm like, hold online, like, this ain't a little relative. Yeah, like, you gotta be an adult.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that was
how you talk to people's
right,
kids.
Right. So that was the tough transition part was, and then for them to respect me, I was so young.
Right.
For them to be like, dude, do you really know what you're talking about?
Right.
You know, and I didn't know how to take that at first. It was kind of like, hey man, you can run or get the hell out the gym.
Right.
You know, kind of deal. So they, you know, again, that was a challenging part. The you know, the positive thing was after that initial, you know, couple weeks, man, everybody was open arms, wow. running through walls.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Running through walls. You know, and that was love, man. The parents were like, man, how old are you? I'm like 19.
Okay.
They were like, man, you good.
So you had some success, you know, your first time going out, right?
Yeah, and I had no clue what I was doing. Like, I'm gonna be honest with you.
You kind of were winging it. You know, 100%. What did they say? Fake it till you make it.
100%.
Okay.
Call me Milli Vanilli.
Right. So you're in Cannell Rec. How long did you stay there?
I was in Cannell Rec, what, 2 years? 2 full years?
Okay. So what was next?
Actually, I went over to Skyline Rec with Marshawn.
Okay.
We started a little team called the San Diego Barons.
Did he reach out to you or you reached out to him?
We was always together.
Okay, so because, you were started in Cannell together and said, hey, we got opportunity to go to Skyline.
Yeah, we known each other when we were younger. He's 4 years older than me, but always wanted to coach. So
okay.
on his first little squad, when I was at Lincoln in the spring semester, I was my senior year, I was actually a player coach on his team.
Okay.
Which was a trip.
You were kind of getting groomed. You didn't even know it yet.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So nice. I go over to Skyline with him, and the only reason why we named this team the Barons is because we had no money. And so check it. This is interesting.
Right.
So for you cats to remember Fanmart and how big Fanmart used to be, they used to sell all kind of sports jerseys, Negro League clothing.
Yeah.
And the Barons was actually the Black Barons Negro League baseball team.
Right.
So they had a basketball jersey with this tight B on it with a cane going through with a diamond. That was the logo of the Negro League team.
Okay.
All we had to do was put numbers on the back. There he pressed numbers. So we bought the jerseys for like $15. But Marshawn was like, yeah, we the San Diego Black Barons. I'm like, no, we not.
Right.
He was like, why not? I said, bro, we can't say Black Barons. Like, they're going to think we're rebellious.
Right.
This would be the San Diego Barons.
Right.
So the San Diego Barons is actually the kickoff for San Diego All-Stars is out now.
Wow.
That's the base.
So that's where it started. That's a little bit of San Diego history.
San Diego Barons is the original San Diego All-Stars.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're at Skyline with Marshawn.
Yeah.
Doing the San Diego Barons.
Yeah.
And what opportunity came out of that?
Man, so what happened was we had guys like Scott White. He's an All-American football player out of Mission Bay.
Yeah.
Can hoop. Stanley Daniels.
I saw him ball. He's a hell of a football
man,
player.
Man, Stanley Daniels, who grew up in Southeast but played at Marion Catholic.
Okay.
We had those guys. Okay. And they were really like little brothers because I've known Stanley since he was like 6, 7. Families grew up on the same block over there. And so what happened was, man, we ended up playing High Five America.
Where were they out of?
High Five America. They're based out of like the Terracina area up north here.
Okay.
It's actually AIU now is what they had. They ended up getting AIU.
Miramar Road.
Okay. Road.
Okay. So High Five America.
We ended up playing them. Marlon Wells, who's the Bishop Girls head coach.
Shout out to Marlon.
Yeah, legend, man, legend.
Legend, yes.
On the court and off the court, legend.
Good person, too.
Yeah, so Marlon was actually the boys' JV coach at San Diego High. But
at
he's working, yeah, at the time, but he's working for High Five America, Arlie Nichols, Heliker, and them guys.
And this is what year, 99, 2000?
Oh, yeah, about 99.
Okay.
About 99.
Okay.
And so what happened was we're playing them at Lemon Grove Rec. Me and Marlon actually got into it.
No.
That's a funny story.
What's the short version of that?
Man, short version, he went to the trunk. So long story, I was still behind the pillar.
Right.
So next week we go to AIU.
Right.
To go play.
In that big dome.
Big dome.
About six, seven courts or something like that.
Yeah. So we up there and all of a sudden I spotted him. Like E-40 said, I spotted him.
Right.
And I saw Marlon. I was like, oh, I'm going to get him. That was the Southeast coming out. I was like, I'm about to get him.
Right.
So he's walking at me. I'm looking at him, and I'm pointing
in front
like,
of all the kids.
Nah, but we talk sign language. You know how where we from.
Right, right.
Give him the eye look, the head, like, you know where to meet me.
Right, let's get it.
And then he put his hands up like, hold on. So he comes over to me. I was young, hothead.
Right.
So he comes over to me. He's like, hey, man, let me holler at you real quick. I'm like, holler at me or get at me? What you talking about?
Right.
Like, no, I want to talk to you. I'm like, all right. So me and him step outside, and basically he's like, look, man, I need you. Man, I've been watching you coach.
Wow.
I know you with Marshawn.
Wow.
Here's the deal, homie. Man, I'm with another group called Rising Stars. Me and Ali Golston, was doing this. And
he's a Hoover coach, right? He was.
Hoover coach, yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir. Okay. So he had the Stockton Knights.
Okay.
We were growing
at
up.
At that time, okay.
Yeah, when we were growing up, it was Stockton Knights, and then they created Rising Stars.
See, and all that travel league wasn't as big as it is
now. No. It's too watered down now.
Previous, social media and all that.
So, yeah. So basically, he's like, hey, man, I want you to meet Ali. We've been watching you.
Wow.
I'm like, all right. So he asked me to come downtown the next day to the NBC building out in front of Horton Plaza.
Yes, yeah.
So he meets me, go up to like the 15th floor.
Okay.
And Ali got a little thing up there. I'm like, whoa. So we chopping it up, and they basically like, look, man, we watch what you do. Families talk about you. You know, boom, boom, boom. We want you to be part of the Rising Stars.
Wow.
And back then, the Rising Stars was Terry Tucker, the head coach of St. Cedro.
Okay.
Who got Mikey Williams.
That freshman squad. Yeah. Or not freshman, but, you know, they,
yeah,
they won the
two freshmen. Yeah,
year.
Yeah. He got Malon.
Shout out to Jurian, a young homie, Jurian Dixon, and Phenom Mikey.
Yeah, Mikey, little Malon.
As well as all the other squad, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Great team down there.
So he had like Terry Tucker. It was a bunch of us. And
right.
I was like, you know, I'm the young bull.
Right.
And they're like, here's the deal. We want you to do this, this, and this.
Okay.
So me being loyal, I'm like, yo, well, what about Marshawn? And in a nice way,
that's solid right there too.
Yeah, in a nice way, they're basically like, nah.
Wow.
Nah, we want
you, not him.
Yeah.
How hard was that for you to make that decision to say I'm so loyal, I'm staying with him, or I'm gonna leave because I know this is best for me?
Nah, it was easy. I mean, I'm loyal to the soil. So regardless of what me and Marshawn had going, good, bad, indifferent, we were together.
Right.
So I said, hey man, here's the deal. There's no me without him.
Mm.
There's no me without him. And they were like, all right, cool.
So they finally agreed.
Yeah, okay. Right then and there. They're right. Like, cool. So I hit Marshawn up. Now it's up to Marshawn to say yes or no.
Okay.
Because Marshawn could have been like, nah, Lon, I don't want to do
you
it.
You did the right thing.
100%.
Like, hey, yeah, right. I kind of started with you. I don't want to leave you hanging.
Yeah, 100%.
And go somewhere else. And then, oh, man, that dude Lonnie did me wrong,
yeah.
Man. Nah.
Yeah, okay. So Marlon, he introduced both of us to the first real travel ball. Because the Barons were considered travel ball, but, man, we didn't go nowhere.
Right.
I mean, we might have did L.A.
San Diego.
Yeah, we might have did L.A. at the most. We didn't know nothing about. We young bucks,
Vegas,
man.
Arizona. It
man.
Wasn't big like that. And
man.
We didn't have any information because there's no internet.
Man, at all like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So basically, they Marlon had the 14-under A team. We had the 14-under B team.
Okay.
So the A team, I mean, it was loaded. Like, right. The team was so good, Jared Dudley was on the bench.
Wow. Dudley's on the Lakers.
On the Lakers. So Jared Dudley was on the bench, and he didn't start over a girl. Candace Wiggins started.
She's another legendary basketball player.
Played at Stanford, WNBA.
Right. Went to
La Jolla Country Day.
La Jolla Country Day,
yeah.
That's right.
So Marlon's squad was loaded. And her little brother, who played pro ball overseas, Alan Wiggins, named after his dad,
right.
Former Padre, Alan came off the bench.
Right.
So
wow.
It showed you how good that team was.
Wow. And to have a future NBA star.
Man,
on the bench as a youth player.
That team had four pros on it. Vincent Camper was another one that ended up playing some pro ball overseas.
Nice.
So me and Marshawn, we had like Scooter, Lyle Woodward, rest in peace, he passed away a couple years ago. You know, we had those little young rascals.
Right.
So, you know, we got to travel and do all that stuff. So me and Ali ended up getting a really strong bond.
Nice.
So basically, I ended up getting a job with the school district because at the time I'm doing Rising Stars, I jumped into bodyguard work.
Right.
So I was working clubs and I was working by myself, for myself, going across the nation, bodyguarding rappers, stuff
nice.
Like that, while still doing this AAU stuff.
Right.
I would just meet them in whatever city and then
just kind of juggling everything, right?
Yeah, I was just young,
making,
trying to figure it out.
Money, right.
Yeah, so Ali got at me after I started in working for the school district. I was at Claremont High School, and Ali was right before
I got
to Claremont.
The school district? Security?
Yeah, campus supervision.
Campus supervision,
so
right.
Ali got at me and said, hey, Lon, look, we're going to take, I want you to come with me to SCA. Which is Southern California All-Stars.
Right.
I said, why are we doing that? He said, well, they're top five in the nation. And we're going to take, we put Floyd on that team already. Floyd North, another San Diego legend, played
with
Saints.
The Saints, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So he said, we're going to take Muhammad Abukar.
He went to San Diego State, didn't he?
Played at State.
State, right.
So he's like a little brother to me.
Right.
So he said, we're going to go to SCA.
Right.
We got to put Mo on this national circuit. Because he's that good.
Give him that exposure.
He said, but I want you to come with me because I need you to soak this stuff up right now.
Giving you game.
Game.
That's
so
valuable, man.
My role on SCA, I was just a driver. So I would hop in the van and drive to Vegas.
And just soaking up all the game and the ins and outs of how this real travel ball.
100%.
Because it started getting bigger
as
we got into the new millennium.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm tripping out because some of these ESPN stories you guys are seeing about like guys taking money and stuff like that. I'm like I handed a player with bag was something in it
right.
back in the day.
I mean, come on,
yeah, it was nuts.
Even
so,
before you did it
yeah.
was, come on.
They were like, hey, Lonnie, go hand that to him. I was like, all right.
All right.
I'm like, Damn, okay, I see what's in there. Okay.
See, yeah, right.
So it was
see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Right.
Yeah. So what happened was, man, our first tournament, we in Vegas, is a warm-up tournament. So normally every April is your warm-up period.
Right.
So we in Vegas, and man, I had nothing to do. I'm sitting behind the bench.
Right.
And back then, Stevie Thompson was the head coach. Stevie's now coaching up at Oregon State.
Wow.
He's considered one of the best 50 dunkers in basketball history.
Wow.
And he's only like 6'2".
Wow.
So Stevie's coaching, Jody Gardner's coaching, another great, great coach. And I'm sitting behind the bench. I'm bored, bro.
Right.
I'm bored watching the game.
Right.
I mean, dude, we out there. I mean, they going against like Derek Favors, all these crazy cats. So
right.
I'm watching. I'm like, bro, this is nuts, man. You know, Dwight Howard out there.
Right.
Bro, it was fire out there.
Right.
So I'm like, I'm bored. So
it's
I break
San
out.
San Diego no more.
Homie, I open up my backpack and
right.
I got some paper in there, notebook.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm bored, man. I write down every SCA kid.
Right.
And the team we're playing, I write down everyone they numbers.
Okay.
And basically I put steals, rebounds. So I'm just trying to entertain myself.
Right. Keeping
so,
stats.
Yeah.
For yourself.
My own stats. Right. I'm doing both teams during the game.
Right.
To me, I'm like, this ain't nothing.
Right.
I guess it's phenomenal to do both at the same time. I don't know.
You
I guess I was just good
just
at
doing
it.
Your thing.
So second game we're playing, it's the game to go to the ship.
Right.
And I hear the coaching staff, Ali's on the coaching staff, and they're talking about fouling the guy. Hey, we gotta put him at the line. Boom, boom, boom.
Kind of the pre-Hack-a-Shaq. That's what it was.
Bro, right? Yeah. So and the best advice I got that year was earlier on, I met Reggie Theus, and the next year he was the head coach of that team. He said, young bull, the best thing I can tell you is keep your mouth shut and eyes and ears open.
Mm.
And the way he was talking to me, I'm like, homie, I'm from Southeast. I mean, you better get hit in the mouth.
Right.
But I soaked
care.
It up.
I don't
so,
care if you played the NBA.
Man, so
you
I'm sitting.
Watch how you talk
yeah. So I'm sitting behind the bench, semifinal game. I'm listening to them talking about who to foul. I'm like, Ali, psst, Coach Ali. Ali's like, what? I'm like, y'all fouling the wrong kid.
Right.
He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, he's 6-for-8 from the free throw line.
Why are we gonna keep fouling him?
He was like,
knocking him
he
down.
He was like, wait, what? I go, yeah. I go, you gotta foul 44.
It's like, how do you know? Here, look.
And I turned, and he said, turn. Hey, Stevie, 44, foul 44. Well, what I didn't realize, the owner of the team was standing over in the corner
the
right by me.
What team?
SCA.
SCA.
We had an owner.
Okay, who basically
yeah.
was the figurehead. And
oh, he was the money.
He was the money man, and
yeah.
you guys were the figurehead.
He's put like this. He was Tyson Chandler's guy.
Wow.
He's the one that made Tyson Chandler help blow him up.
Okay.
So this dude was paid.
Right.
Like paid. Like we didn't pay for nothing.
He's funding everything.
Yeah. So like normally when you travel to the basketball team, you put 4 kids in a room, 2 to a bed. Kind of
old
deal.
Old school. One feet and head.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah,
he didn't believe in that.
Right.
He was like, nah, it's 2 players per room and every coach get their own room. Yeah.
They don't got no money for that. Yeah, we do.
Yeah, yeah. So he basically his name's Pat Barrett. So basically he was watching. I didn't realize he was watching me. So they fouled 44. What'd he do?
Right.
He missed both free throws, come down, boom, game over.
Wow.
SCA wins.
Wow.
So as we're walking to the lobby of the gym, Pat's like, hey, Lonnie, come over here. And he has OCD. So he like always shakes his pocket and he stutters a little bit. He's like, hey, Lonnie, what do you got in your hand?
Mm-hmm.
What was you writing over there? And I showed him.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, he was like, you told them who to foul? I was like, I suggested it.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay. So boom, team comes. He says something to the team. Team walks away. He goes, Lonnie, come here. He
okay.
goes, from this day forward, you're sitting on the bench.
Okay.
And then he said, here you go. And shook my hand, $500 cash. And I said, no. I said, you paid for my trip here. You paid for my food.
Right.
And when I mean food, we didn't eat. It wasn't Taco Bell.
Right.
We were eating steaks.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
You were in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come
so,
on.
So, you know, being from the Southeast, we humble.
Right.
We appreciative.
Right.
I'm like, nah, man, you paid for
don't
my trip.
Don't want to burn the plug. Right.
Man, you paid for my room.
Right.
You did all that. And he was like, nope. He was like, nope, it's still a job. It's still a job.
Right.
And I was like, that's deep, bro. So. That's how I kicked off with SCA.
Okay.
We had Muhammad. I mean, he was phenomenal, bro. He was San Diego Section Player of the Year, averaged 34 points a game.
Wow.
Missed the McDonald's game by one vote.
Wow.
Originally went to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a year and a half of Florida, he's like, I'm going home.
And he went to San Diego State.
So, yeah. So everybody that want to talk about Kawhi Leonard, San Diego State, no. It goes Muhammad Abukar first. And
yes.
I got the articles to prove it.
I remember
it.
That.
And Abukar is also the one that reached out when they brought Kawhi down for the visit and worked him out. And was like, hey, he's going to be great. He's going to be this.
So,
and he was like, Kawhi, you need to come to state.
Right.
And
that's nice.
So again, he's very humble. Like he won't really tell people that, but I mean, he's still playing pro ball right now. He's over in Greece
okay.
doing his thing. But yeah, so our team was loaded, man. We had that squad that he was on, man. Let me see. We had, we had the best backcourt they said in the nation. So it was Marcus Williams. He went to UConn.
Okay.
Ray Reed, Rashawn Reed went to Georgetown.
Out of San Diego.
No, these two were out of LA.
LA, okay.
Marcus played at Crenshaw
uh-huh.
and then transferred his senior year to go play at Oak Hill Academy.
Oh, okay.
And then
I
went to UConn.
Right.
Went to UConn.
Okay.
And Rashawn Reed, where was he at? Was it Inglewood? Inglewood High?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not Inglewood, but then he went to Georgetown We had Muhammad, went to Florida, Big Burgess, Washington State. We had the number one ninth grader in the nation, Taylor King, who committed to UCLA as a freshman.
Wow.
Ended up going to Duke.
Wow, that's so, I mean, even big too.
Man, and the next year after Muhammad graduated, bro, we had Taj Gibson, okay. Aaron Aflalo. Oh, Aaron was on that team
SC.
Too.
SC. Yeah, that's right. And Aflalo went to UCLA.
UCLA. Both still in the NBA.
Right.
So that's, we're loaded.